Armies run on food, fuel, and information. That last part is why the Defense Department spends so much on information technology and services each year, and why contractors spend a lot of time reading the DoD tea leaves. Jerry Robbins is the team lead for this year's Tech America Defense IT Market Forecast. He's standing by with Tom at the Tech America Foundation Vision Forecast Conference in Falls Church. Tom?
Thank you, Emily. And Jerry, great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
All right, so first of all, what does the Defense Department roughly spend on information technology across all of the components every year?
Across all of the components, they are a little bit over $36 billion right now, and that includes both the classified and the unclassified budget. And the unclassified number for the classified budget is somewhere around $6 billion, and then they spread that out. Most of that money is actually going for the cybersecurity areas and then a few other special projects. But about $30 billion are spread across the rest of the agencies.
Okay, so that's about half of what the whole federal government spends is spent by DOD, more or less.
Well, yes, that's correct.
All right, so everyone is wondering whether that's going to go up or down and which way and by how much in 2015 and beyond. What do you see ahead?
Okay, in the forecast, we're seeing 2015 relatively flat with a slight uptick, especially on the cybersecurity side. That seems to be the area. The reason for a little bit of a flatness on the rest of the budget is they're beginning to see cost savings from things that they're doing right now during this sequestration period they're in.
So what are some of the areas where they're seeing those savings in terms of IT?
I think we're seeing it in some data center consolidation as they begin to move applications into the cloud environment, whether that's the public or private cloud, most of it right now being private cloud.
Okay, I want to get back to that cloud issue, but first I wanted to ask you, of that $30 billion that we know some detail about, how much of that is hardware and software products that are delivered, and how much is services using integrators and service companies?
Okay, it's a good mix right there. I think you see most of the budget now going toward the services side as they migrate out. A significant part of this is going into the infrastructure. So they have to maintain the networks, the servers, all the infrastructure they're using for the networks and the IT components. So a little better, around half or a little better than half of that budget is going purely into infrastructure. So a lot of your hardware and software will go into that, as well as some of the applications are going to be developing over time.
So as they spend on infrastructure, is there a chance to maybe optimize it, modernize it, and maybe drive some cost out of it while they invest in it?
That's the main idea right now. They've got a lot of legacy systems still in the network itself, both in the server side as well as the pure network component. So by eliminating those, they save the expensive cost of maintaining things like plain old telephone systems that we're so used to getting with dial tone, moving everything to an internet protocol environment.
So they've got to spend a little to get long-term savings, in other words, in
exactly.
The whole infrastructure.
And that seems to be the way across all industries right now.
All right, so it's getting back to the cybersecurity issue. What is it they're spending on for cybersecurity, and what do you see ahead there?
I think there are two pieces of that. One is to equip the people, in other words, train and equip people to do the job of cybersecurity. So the services side of it, both internally within the Department of Defense, as well as getting contractors up to speed.
So just a quick question, in that part that they spend that you count on cyber, does the internal or non-addressable by industry, that's part of that $30 billion?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, so on the other piece of it, it's developing the applications, getting the security wrappers around the systems, moving to industry to try and get us in industry to build cybersecurity, you know, components into the products and services that we're providing to the DoD.
And that manpower and personnel idea of training cyber, in many ways, the services are competing with industry for the same pool of people.
Well, I think you see some of that, and yet when you see the right-sizing, I guess, of the government right now during this austere budget times, we see a lot of folks in the service now leaving the service. So even though they're starting to transition folks that are in communications and information technology traditional roles, moving into cybersecurity, so it's almost a shift of people into that, hiring some new people within the government, and yet industry is paying more for some of these folks, so you still have a large industrial component out there. We then, as service companies, are supporting these folks through contracts.
Now, the civilian side, you hear a lot about continuous monitoring and continuous diagnostics and mitigation, CDM they call it. these have gone on for a long time in the Defense Department, is that whole area that's now emerging in the civilian side becoming something distinct as a spend in DOD?
I think you see some of that right now. I think, my personal opinion, we have a long ways to go on the CMD to do the monitoring of the networks right now. They're still working through the technology pieces of that. We're dealing with legacy systems, so we've got to upgrade the systems in order to get to the point where we can actually implement the software. Several large contracts have been awarded recently or are in the process of being evaluated to award. Department of Homeland Security, for one, using the Domino contract. You have the CDM contract already awarded. DOD is moving along that same line to do the same thing. Through the Defense Information Systems Agency, their PEOMA mission assurance folks are beginning to build out their cyber applications, working with NSA, working with the services, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, to build out the entire cyber construct along with Cyber Command to oversee it.
Sure. That CDM contract, is that an up-and-running vehicle that's going?
Yes, it is right now.
Okay. We're speaking with Jerry Robbins. He's an independent defense business development and market analyst, and he's also the Tech America DOD IT and services team lead. Let's talk about cloud a little bit, because there seems to be some move to maybe reduce the DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, grip on all cloud and DOD. Is that what you see? And do you see maybe a little bit more commercial cloud spending?
Okay, what I see right now is the DOD somewhat changing their alignment that they had with DISA on the cloud activity, and they have essentially put the letter out to pull back that role that DISA actually had now. In talking with the folks both at the Department of Defense CIO shop as well as with DISA, DISA still has somewhat of an oversight of this to go ahead and help the services decide which area they want to move into in cloud. Now, we see them trying to move into a commercial cloud environment, yet because of the security requirements, some companies are not willing to put the security piece within their public cloud or their offerings to accommodate what the Department of Defense needs. So the Department of Defense is using these folks for an internal or private cloud to do the same job and keep the security piece of this, you know, intact and what they need.
And getting back to the bigger IT picture, do you think that this will be the year we might be able to put a stake into the heart of the lowest price technically acceptable deal?
It would be nice to do that. I don't see that happening very quickly. I still think that you're looking at companies that are trying to bid into this environment, trying to put a price forward that we can actually live with to go hire the right people. Very difficult sometimes. I think Department of Defense needs to understand that if the requirements are completely defined and very well articulated, that an LPTA, or low price technically acceptable contract, is good. If there's any kind of development or uncertainty in those contracts, then they need to go with some other form of contract, like a cost plus.
Probably the department is, I imagine a lot of the buyers in the department and the service program managers would prefer best value. But that sometimes that's not that politically palatable.
I think you see some politics between the program management side of the house and the mission folks and then the contracts and the legal folks. So they're trying to balance that right now. It's been interesting to watch over the last few years how they're trying to mitigate some of the issues that you've come up with LPTA.
And what do you see ahead for the next gen, for the Navy?
Okay, for Navy with next gen, I think they're going to move forward with that right now. Part of our presentation will cover some of that today. Between NextGen and then CANES, the Consolidated Afloat Network for the ships, a lot of integration and interplay between those two contracts is going to happen. Navy has kind of gone off on their own, even though they're embracing, you know, the Department of Defense's roadmap going forward. They've had the experience of doing this through NMCI and now NGEN. So I think they've got the experience there. They believe they can do it almost as well as what you see with the larger DOD activity.
And if you look at the joint information environment effort, is that a thing or is it a market at this point?
It is, it's not really a thing or a market. It's a construct. This is the plan. This is what I look at, a strategic plan for Department of Defense to move forward in the information technology environment.
So vendors can't really base their sales forecasts on it anytime in the near future.
Well, what they need to look at is all the subcomponents in the contracts and the activities going on below that as this strategic plan evolves over time. So each of the components, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the agencies are going to be putting out various contracts for various parts of the JIE.
And so what's your best advice for contractors going ahead, looking at what you see in IT 15, 16?
I think two. One is, and many are doing this right now, to right-size based on what the government market looks like from our forecast. They can take a look and see what the numbers look like for the next 5 to 10 years.
So right-size, don't hire anybody, or maybe trim?
Not necessarily, but maybe trim some of the folks that are, you know, becoming a little antiquated, hire people that are in the mainstream area like cloud, like cybersecurity, these types of things. One of the comments we got from one of the people we interviewed, but basically for industry to really do well, go out and find the younger folks that are doing, you know, great things in IT, help them through school, train them very well, and then give them something within a company to build out so they get the good talent, groom the talent, get them ready for the next generation of information technology.
All right, so for people that do right size and get the right talent, then things won't be so bad.
That's what we're seeing right now, yes.
All right, Jerry Robbins is an independent defense business development and market analyst. He's also the Tech America DoD IT and services team lead. Reporting, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, absolutely.